Well, good morning, everybody. Lovely to be able to see you all. My name's Andy, if we've not met, and as Antoinette said, I'm the youth pastor here at Maybridge. And we are continuing with this series called Fighting Shadows. And basically, it's about tackling these kind of big topics in life that can hold us back from the life in all its fullness that Jesus has promised for us. And if you're new to church, if that's a weird term for you, I want you to know today that God wants to give you life in all its fullness. He doesn't want you to have a life that is holding you back. And so today we are looking at ambition. And I like the question earlier of what did you want to do or who did you want to be when you grow up? I wanted to be a footballer. I had an Arsenal shirt, number 14, Thierry Henry on the back. But I had less speed and less va-va-voom, if everyone remembers that phrase. I was really absolutely into it. My mum tells a funny story of when I was about five. I think I went to my first football session and I was sprinting onto the pitch and I went smack bang into a pole, smacked my head, went to the floor. My mum thought, oh my goodness, is he all right? I got straight up, went straight to the football because of the love of the beautiful game. Unfortunately, it amounted to nothing. I'm not a footballer now, although maybe I can make a late move for it, a late Jamie Vardy, but it's not happened yet. And so I don't know what it was for each one of you. Maybe you wanted to be a doctor, a teacher, an astronaut, a cowboy, a dinosaur, whatever these things are we have when we're young. But we do have these big dreams that we want to achieve. We have something or someone that we want to be. And we encourage this. We encourage people to dream big, to know that you can make a difference. But for a lot of us, we get a bit older and we may still have that youthful enthusiasm. But for many of us, the reality sets in. I'm not going to be a footballer, not going to be a dinosaur, not going to be a cowboy or whatever it is. For some of us, we do achieve them. But the harsh reality for a lot of us is that those childhood dreams can come crashing down. And then we adapt, we try and find something that we love, we try and find something maybe that we're good at, or some of us will try and just make do, just want to coast by. Some of us will be very ambitious, find a job that we want to grow in, and to grow in life as well, and to climb the ranks. And so ambition is not just about work or jobs, but actually I think it can be a good indicator of how ambitious we are. And I want you to ask this question, or in your own heads, or to think about this. How ambitious are you? Neither are necessarily wrong or right, but our answer to this question relates to how we relate to God. Of course, our ambitions are determined by all sorts of things. Our upbringing makes a difference. Our culture makes a difference. Our friends and the media we consume all makes a difference to this question of how ambitious are you? And so I don't want to paint ambition as all about career, but here's a few stats about the younger generation from various surveys. So two-thirds of 18 to 24-year-olds have lower career expectations due to cost of living crisis, economic instability, and mental health issues. 73% of that age range feel anxious about their future. Two-thirds believe they'll never be financially secure. 72% of 18 to 30-year-olds would consider living and working in another country for better career opportunities and quality of life. But with all that, 91% of uni graduates want their job to make a difference, and 86% want to work for a company with a positive environmental impact. And so I think to sum up some of these statistics, the majority of the younger generation aren't particularly ambitious or at least hopeful for the future economically in the UK. Or maybe some of them feel that actually their ambition won't get them anywhere at all. But it's at the same time, at least for graduates, they do want to make a difference. And so I wonder if some of us feel that way. We want to make a difference, but we feel like the odds are against us. Maybe we feel that way in our faith. We want to make a difference, but feel like the odds are against us. And this is just an interesting point. I wanted to bring those statistics because I think it helps paint a picture of what ambition looks like a lot for our younger generation. Maybe you, if you're not part of that generation, maybe you feel this way. Maybe you don't. Maybe you're at the start of thinking about ambition. Maybe you're having more and more ambition in your life. You could be anywhere on this journey. But what I want us to know today is that God wants to redeem our view of ambition and to give every single one of us godly ambition. God wants to give you godly ambition today. And so to have godly ambition, I believe we need to know what it isn't as well as what it is. So we're going to look at what is selfish ambition. And it says this in Philippians chapter 2. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of the others. And so what is selfish ambition? In short, I think it's to fulfill our own desires and to make our own name great. And this is absolutely all over the Bible. We even see this early on when the devil tempts Adam and Eve. What does he do? He appeals to their ambition to be great, to be like God. He says, "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Right from the beginning, we've replaced God's ambition with selfish ambition. We go from making his name great to our name great. Only a few chapters on from that, we see the people try to build a tower, famously known as the Tower of Babel. And it says this, "Then they said, 'Come, let us build ourselves a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens so that we may make a name for ourselves. Otherwise, we will be scattered over the face of the whole earth.'" They wanted to make a tower that reaches to the heavens or to the skies, just very, very high up. Why? So that they can make a name for themselves. See, there is something in us that wants to make our own name great. We want that recognition. We want to feel that power. See, selfish ambition is where we want ourselves to be on that pedestal of power and praise instead of God. I came across this quote from a man named David Watson, and he says, "The Christian who is ambitious to be a star disqualifies himself as a leader." That's because this goes against who God is. He is not about making our name great. He is about making his name great. We must all be wary, particularly those of us in leadership positions, that we don't seek to make our own name great, but God's. I even had this morning. I spoke at breakfast church, and after, you know, one of the questions going around my head is like, "Oh, I hope I came across well." And I felt completely challenged by God in that, to even listen to my own talk. Of the better question is, did this glorify God? Was his name made great? And it's good to kind of be self-aware. It's good to kind of ask, can we do things well? But ultimately, we need to ask, does this glorify God and make his name great? And for now, I want to ask us, how many of your own ambitions are for personal gain or for your own feeling of status? When you think about your ambitions for the future, how much of it is about personal security, finances, or power? How many of our ambitions are exactly the same as our non-Christian neighbours? Let me ask you this as well. Have you ever been jealous when someone has accomplished something good, even if it's for God or for the kingdom? Have you ever found yourself wanting someone else's downfall so that you may gain an advantage? See, selfish ambition wants to inflate our own egos and wants us to compete against our friends, against our family, against our colleagues, causing broken relationships. That's why we are called to do nothing out of selfish ambition. It causes destruction. It is not the way of God's people. But maybe you're here and you don't consider yourself ambitious at all. But actually, I want to encourage us, selfish ambition can also be to just do nothing. To aspire to make no difference to others in the world and to keep the gifts and the blessings we've received all to ourselves. Jesus tells a parable about a man who buried his treasure where others used it to help grow God's kingdom. Jesus says that man was foolish because he did nothing with what God had given him. And when we choose to, in essence, bury what God's given us, we selfishly choose not to bless others. So I actually believe God does want us to have a healthy dose of ambition as long as it's godly. So we're going to think about, well, what is godly ambition? What does this actually look like? And so I want to talk about three things. First one, godly ambition is all about attitude. Godly ambition seeks God's will. Godly ambition makes God's name great, not ours. First one, godly ambition is all about attitude. And so let me ask this question. Is it bad to have the ambition to be successful and to make a lot of money? Maybe you'd lean yes, particularly after some of the stuff I've already said. Maybe you'd say no. But I believe the wise response to this question is it depends on the motivation. Why do you want to be successful? Is it so you can have lots of nice material things, live a lavish lifestyle, show off in front of others? Do you want to feel powerful and in control? These can be selfish ambitions. Or are your motivations to grow in influence so you can make godly decisions in your workplace, or that your hard work would point to God? Do you want to make money so you can be generous and hospitable? See, these are quite clearly godly ambitions. There may well be some grey areas here, maybe sport, for example, there's this competitive nature. But we can do this with godly character, not for fame or to one-up anyone, but with good character. See, I think success can be a good byproduct, but it is absolutely a terrible God. Success is a good byproduct, but it is an absolutely terrible God. We were talking about this topic with some of the youth the other day, and one of them asked this really great question, which I'm paraphrasing. And he said, how do you know if your motivations are godly? See, we have conflicting intentions, don't we? Maybe you're motivated to lead worship so you can bless God and the church. That's a great thing. But secretly, maybe you like the praise you get. Or maybe you want to be generous with your money and your home and your possessions, but you also like the idea of being more well off than others. See, actually, we do have these conflicting intentions at times. And I think we need to ask this question of, what is the dominant voice? What are you feeding? What are you giving power to? Are you feeding the desire for fame or wealth? Or are you feeding the desire for God's kingdom? See, we must feed the desire for God's kingdom and starve the voices of selfish ambition. We don't need to question all of our motives all of the time, but we must be aware of which motives we are entertaining, which ones we're feeding. Next one, godly ambition seeks God's will. And so I wonder if have you ever noticed that the Lord's Prayer starts with God's concerns, not ours? It says, your kingdom come, your will be done, before give us today our daily bread. How often are our thoughts and our own prayers about our needs? See, of course, we should come to God, and it is good to come to God with our prayers, with what's going on in our lives. But how often are they completely dominated by that? Godly ambition is rather all about seeking God's will for our life. We see this modelled in Jesus. He was purposeful, he was intentional in all that he did to bring about God's kingdom, not to live a life just of health and wealth. His ambition was to fulfil the Father's will for his life. This included spending time with the poor, looking after the sick, praying, learning scripture, and of course, being obedient to death on a cross. In the book Fight and Shadows, which is what this series is based on, they talk about this whole idea, this concept of kingdom vision. Seeing what you have through the lenses of the gospel, through the lenses of what God has done for us, and thinking of your own life, not primarily as something for yourself, but as something to bless others and to bless God. That is exactly how Jesus saw his life, something to bless God with and to bless others. This whole idea of kingdom vision, it asks questions like this. How can I bring God's kingdom in this situation? How can I spend my time wisely? How can I get to know God better? How can I become a better disciple? How can my own life impact and bless others? And the answer to this, it isn't always extravagant. It says this in 1 Thessalonians. It says, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. You should mind your own business and work with your hands just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders and so you will not be dependent on anybody. See, this idea, ambition to lead a quiet life, it almost seems contradictory, that couldn't be part of ambition. But this is part of godly ambition. That doesn't mean that God won't call us to do something extraordinary for the kingdom and that we won't get noticed. That naturally could happen. But the instructions given to the Thessalonians here were to lead a quiet life, Not one of always just seeking the next thing, the next adventure, but one of contentedness. One that helps us to listen to God and to spend time with him. To mind our own business, not to gossip or to slander anyone. And to work with our hands. It doesn't necessarily mean manual labour for us. But actually, in whatever we do, whatever work God has called us to, work hard and resemble God in what you do and how you go about it. And it says, so that our daily lives are an example to those who don't know God. It's not about lowering our expectations. It's about lowering our eyes to see the needs of those around us, to prefer those needs instead of our own. It says this in 2 Corinthians, so we make it our goal to put in the body or away from it. And so in everything, in the extraordinary things that God may call you to, in your everyday life, make it your goal to please God. Last one, godly ambition makes God's name great, not ours. And this can seem a little bit arrogant almost from God, but actually everything in the world is God's. It's all from him and it's all for him, including worship. See, the worship of other people or idols is bad for us and it's bad for the one we're worshipping. That's because we were made to worship, not to be worshipped. God is the one who should be worshipped. So author and writer for the Gospel Coalition, Amy DiMarcangelo, wrote this about ambition. The only way we can fight our thirst for glory is to be consumed with his. The only way we can fight our thirst for glory is to be consumed with his. We can be so wrapped up in our own world, so often we feel like we need to prove ourselves. We think, I need to do this, I need to make a difference, otherwise I'm not good enough. What happens? We exhaust ourselves trying to prove that we're enough by what we do. When we feel like we're not doing enough, we feel like a failure. I wonder how many of us are feeling that way today. And why do we feel that way? Well, there can be a number of reasons, but so often we look at our shortcomings or we even look at what we're good at and we make it all about ourselves instead of being about God. But when we do realise, when we know that we're secure in God's love, we're secure in who he has made us to be and that glory belongs to him and him alone, helps us to bring down the idols of fame, of wealth, of admiration and accomplishments. See, we get to look to him for our worth, not to others, not to things or success or to approval from others. And when we truly know our worth and God's glory, we seek to make God's name great, not ours. We become more conscious about how what we do reflects on God, not ourselves. We're more concerned that we work with integrity and that we don't exploit anyone along the way. We want to grow in our skills so that they can bless other people, not ourselves, and so we can feel good about ourselves. We're careful about how we steward our money, how we steward our bodies as an act of worship towards God. See, when we reflect on the majesty of God, that he would make everything in this world and it all belongs to him, that he would send his son down to die for us, that he would give us the Holy Spirit to live in us and to remind us of all the promises of God, when we reflect on all this and more, we realise it's all about God's glory, not mine. It frees us from this obsession of approval because worship is for God, not us. Last thing I want to say is that I believe God wants to give you godly ambition. God wants to lift us out of selfish ambition and give us godly ambition. David Wilkerson, he was a pastor of a church, and I think it was a few decades ago, and one day he got convicted of how much time he was spending in front of the TV. I wonder how many of us can feel that conviction as well. Maybe it's our phones. But he asked this question. He said, what if I sold my TV and spend that time praying? And in prayer, he was drawn to a murder trial of a man murdered by 7 gang members, and he sensed that he should go to share the gospel with those gang members who committed the crime. He was pictured with a Bible and he was mocked by national newspapers. But he started to witness, he started to share the gospel, share God's love with these people on the streets in the gangs of New York. He saw multiple people put their faith in Jesus in seemingly unlikely places, and it started this worldwide charity. So you can find a snippet of that story in the Fight and Shadows book or in the book Cross on the Switchblade. He started with being open to what God wanted him to do. See, God may call you somewhere dangerous, or he may call you to make a difference in your local community here in Worthing. Maybe God is calling you just to make his name known in your household. It may look completely different for each of us, but what is absolutely consistent is that God wants to give us a heart for his people and a heart for his name. He wants his followers to be passionate about making his name great in the way that we live, that we would reflect his nature to everyone we meet. See, ambition is far more about obedience than it is success. We're going to spend some time praying in just a few moments. We're going to pray that God would actually give us that ambition, that some of these idols will go. But I'm going to pray, and then we're going to sing a song. Maybe have it in mind as we're singing. What is it maybe that God's speaking to me around this? What idols need to go? What's God doing in my life now? But let me pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for the way you've made us. Maybe some of us are naturally ambitious. Maybe some of us aren't. But Lord, we do ask that that we wouldn't be people of selfish ambition. Lord, would we seek to make your name great, not our own? Lord, we want to give you glory in all that we do. And Father, I pray for people here today as well, that you would give godly ambition, that maybe you would call people to some amazing things for your kingdom, that you would call people to live like you, to resemble you, maybe in their workplaces, in their homes, wherever it is, Lord. Just give us that ambition to look like you in our lives, to live like you, and to become like you, Lord. Amen. So we're going to sing a song now. As I said, we're going to pray afterwards. So I encourage you to reflect on this as we sing, but would you join me in standing as we sing worship?